The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through his belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. It's a beautiful feast of divine mercy, which this morning I was going over the gospel, and I felt there was a really strong link between the divine mercy message and doubting Thomas. Now, full disclosure here, my middle name is Thomas, so I'm a little biased towards him, and I don't like the bad rap he gets often with being the one who doubts all the time, right? There might be something more happening here if we look for a moment into the heart of Thomas and ask ourselves, maybe, why was he so wanting to see Jesus? Was it just because he was a skeptic by nature, or was there something more? The beautiful thing here is Jesus seems to really want to give Thomas that grace of being able to see him in his resurrection. And when Jesus comes a week later, and Thomas is there, Thomas, he shows up and the apostles are all excited, saying, "Jesus is alive," and yet Thomas knew Jesus had died. No one to that point had ever risen from the dead. It was really hard to believe, but Thomas also knew the apostles were saying Jesus told them to go to the whole world and tell everyone that he was alive. And Thomas, you can imagine in his heart, is thinking to himself, "Before I give my life to this and die for this and tell everyone this amazing thing, I need to make sure it's true." And so, in a sense, Thomas isn't doubting just for the sake of doubting. He knows what believing in Christ really means, and he's not going to take it lightly. Well, the Divine Mercy devotion has something similar. The same heart of Jesus that wanted Thomas to believe is also the same heart that 90 years ago, so in church history time, just like a few days ago, he appeared to a nun in Poland. Now, there's a lot of saints in the church, and in different places of the world, there's, you know, certain places like France, for example, loves Our Lady of Lourdes because Lourdes happened right there. Or St. Patrick in Ireland, or right, Our Lady of Guadalupe in Latin America. There's reasons why certain places have a deep devotion to these saints. This one comes from Poland. but it wasn't meant for just Poland. You see, Faustina was a simple nun, uneducated, barely made it into the convent, you could say. They didn't really want to accept her because she was so poor and uneducated. This was right between World War I and World War II. That's hard to say in a microphone. It was a time when there was a lot of poverty. And so she was knocking on doors, asking to be admitted. And finally, one order, almost not really wanting to, they let her in and they asked her to just do menial labor, like sweeping the floor, doing the dishes, working in the garden. And it was unexpected that to her, one evening in February of 1931, she goes back to her room after her prayers to go to sleep, and as she opens the door and walks in, shuts the door behind her, all of a sudden this light appears and Jesus appears to her. And Jesus has a message for her. He says to her, "Faustina, I want you to, as you see me now, I want you to paint an image. And I want the whole world to know and see this image, a real image with oil paints and brushes, and this is going to be a symbol of my mercy." That beautiful divine mercy image that you see here on my vestment. And then Jesus had something else for her. He said to her, "I want you to convince the Holy Father in Rome to celebrate and to proclaim divine mercy on the second Sunday of Easter." That was unheard of for the church to ever make some new feast, right? It just didn't happen. And you can imagine Faustina was a little confused, and so she asked Jesus, you know, "Why do you need me to do all this?" And Jesus had a very powerful answer to her. And among the many things he said to her was that so few people know about his mercy. So few priests preach about his mercy. This is a time when there's a lot of fire and brimstone type homilies, right? And everyone knew God was often wrathful and angry and vengeful. But there was a whole side of the tender mercy of God the Father that had gone in many ways forgotten. And so Jesus was asking Faustina that this image painted would show his Easter resurrection glory. He's stepping toward you. And he's looking down. He says he's looking down with the same look of love he had from the cross. This devotion for me is very important because something happened to me. I was 2009-10, somewhere in there. I was getting ready for my diaconate ordination. I had been in the seminary for 12 years, and I was getting to the end, and that's when you start to get nervous, right? And I was thinking to myself, do I really want to do this? This is really hard. To be a priest today is not an easy thing to do. So I was a bit frightened by it, and yes, every day at least some point crossed my mind, you know, do I really want to do this or not? And in that struggle, which lasted for about a year, one day I was walking back to my room in the seminary. And no, I didn't see Jesus in my room like Faustina, but there was a book outside the door of my room, and it looked like a Bible from far away, red, you know, big, and I thought to myself, why would someone leave a Bible outside my door? As I got closer and I picked it up, it said it was the Diary of Saint Faustina, Divine Mercy in My Soul. And it was an English copy of this, which was kind of hard to find over in Rome. Most of the books were in Italian, and someone had placed an English copy outside my door. To this day, no idea who did that or why. So I did what most guys kind of do. I walked into my room and I just left it on my desk and did something else. Well, a few days later, I'm at my desk and probably preparing an exam or something, and I just noticed it again, and I picked it up and I opened it up somewhere in the middle and I started reading. Then I flipped a little bit more and I kept reading, and I went to the beginning and I went to the end, and I was very moved by what Faustina was writing about the mercy of Jesus, to the point where I can honestly say that if it wasn't for this book, I wouldn't be here today. St. Faustina, when we talk about saints and devotions in the church, we don't need to get too fixated on them or too obsessed with them. They're just a reflection of Christ and the gospel. But they truly are friends in heaven. And maybe it was her doing. I don't know. I'd like to believe Faustina had something to do with this little book or big book being outside my room that day. You see, in this book, the diary, her experience of Christ was powerful because the heart of Christ was revealed in so many ways, and his desire that we would know that this cross, he didn't do that because he was angry or because God was wrathful. He went there because God was so loving. And the message of divine mercy, which eventually it took a Polish pope, for years no one believed it, and they thought Faustina was a nut. And then the priest who, after she died, who took on the torch of divine mercy, tried to convince the pope in Rome, and they still thought he was nuts. And it wasn't until a Polish pope who had read this in its original translation and who knew all about it came, Pope John Paul II, and declared it the feast day. It took decades after the death of Faustina. She felt probably that she had failed God, because he had asked her to do this. And so this message of divine mercy, which Pope John Paul asked the whole church to celebrate, today we're called to glorify and thank God for that mercy. And then to do something so simple but so hard, which is to open your heart and accept this mercy in your life. You see, the biggest difficulty that weighed on the heart of Jesus, which he explained to Faustina, was that out of so much love and sacrifice and offering he did for us, there's still people today that reject it, don't want to believe it. I don't believe anyone here does that, but it's also hard to live a life that truly believes you're loved. It's easy to believe I'm a bad person and I'll get to heaven maybe by the back door. And that's a sad way of life. It's not easy, but living the simple truth that we are loved, Jesus died on the cross to bring us to heaven, let that really change your life. It's a gift to ask for today. So let's open our hearts to God's great divine mercy, and let us ask for that gift to really believe in our hearts that mercy is for everyone. No matter what your sins are or your past, all you need to do is accept his mercy. That's what God wants. He doesn't want to just give us his divine justice, right? That'll come too if you don't want his mercy. And so today, let us maybe ask our friends in heaven, all the saints, and Faustina in particular, to be with us as we glorify his mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.